Grab your Bibles. They're under your seats or on your tables. We're going to spend some time in them, so hold on to them. We're going to start in Matthew. I'm going to go to chapter 6 in the book of Matthew. If you have one of our Bibles off the table under the chairs, you're going to turn to page 672. If you have your own Bible, Matthew chapter 6. We are in the middle of walking our way through what it means to pray, how prayer works, what prayer is, how prayer affects us, how prayer affects God, why God answers prayers or doesn't answer prayers, and all of these questions. And as we work through this process of trying to decipher and unpack prayer, one of the things that I want to do is, last week, this week, and next week, before we step into the last 2 weeks, is to really start where Jesus started with the disciples. Because I think if we don't start there, we're going to miss the boat right off the bat. And so we start with this amazing thing that we all know best as the Lord's Prayer. And this is what it says, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. This is what it says. This then is how you should pray. This is the words of Jesus Christ, maker and sustainer of the universe. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That is where Jesus stops in the book of Matthew. And it's as simple as he puts it. And then he jumps in and says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men who sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." We'll get to that in another time. So, last week we stepped into the first few verses, right? We looked at this part. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just to give you a recap to make sure that your focus is in the right place as we step into the next part of this. This is the deal. Jesus starts right off the bat by demonstrating to us, showing us in this particular part of teaching us about prayer, that when we enter into prayer with God, if we forget to start with that everything that happens from our humanity is for the sake of God's name, then we're going to miss the boat right off the bat. I know for many of us, including myself, prayer has always been something that we step into primarily when we have a need of some kind. That's really what drives prayer, isn't it? I mean, we pray about lots of things, and most of us who have been Christians for a long time, when we pray, we add adoration up front, and we add some praise in the back, and we throw in a few other things, but ultimately it all drives to the same place, which is the supplication, the need. God, I'm really here because I have need, and I need to pray. And Jesus starts off here by saying, when you pray, you start off with this, that God's name is to be sanctified, to be made holy, to be lifted up, and to be made great, and that it is God's will that matters and God's kingdom that matters. End of story. Once you've done that and you are sure in your focus and in your mind that you know why you live and breathe, that you live and breathe as a Christ follower to bring honor to the name of God and to expand the kingdom of God and to do the will of God, then you go on to the next step. And that next step is this simple. Give us today our daily bread. There it is. Give us today our daily bread. Now, I've heard a lot about give us today our daily bread. I've heard messages on it, and I've heard people preach on it. I've done a lot of reading on it. And it is fascinating to me how many things that we've come up with on this phrase. I remember when I was in English class, my senior year, I was in an AP English class, and we were working on poems in English class. And it never ceased to amaze me how you could take a poem written 100 years ago, and by the time you were done analyzing it, you could have 26 people come up with 26 different meanings. And I always used to think to myself, I wonder what the person writing the poem would think if they were sitting in this class right now. I mean, they'd probably be laughing their head off, going, when I wrote the poem, I was in a bad mood, and I kind of felt depressed, so I wrote this poem. It was really cute. And here you found out that it's got 16 metaphors in it and to the fourth degree, and it means this and it means that and it means the next thing, and you're like, wow. Now, I'm sure some poets actually wrote that way. But the reality is oftentimes we take the simplest things in life, don't we? And we complicate them and make them complex when we try to figure out all the different things. I read that little part right there. It said, give us today our daily bread. The most obvious step, obviously, is God, give us our provision for the day, right? I mean, that makes sense. That's probably what you've heard most of the time, and it's true. It's completely true. It's what it means. God, give us our provision for this day. The part that gets all confusing, though, is this. What is our provision? What is our daily bread? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I mean, here it is. Jesus says, when you pray, ask God, today, give us our daily bread. What is our daily bread? So I started spending this week thinking about daily bread, daily provision. What is our daily bread? And I started digging into Scripture to see where else we talk about bread and manna. And of course, when we talk about daily bread, it takes us back to the book of Exodus. Remember this? And Moses and the people of Israel, we've been walking through the Old Testament in the morning services. In the book of Exodus, they were walking through the desert and they had nothing. You understand, they died after 3 days if God didn't provide for them because they had nothing. So what did God do every morning? He gave them manna. That's right. He gave them daily bread. And remember what would happen if they take and packed up some of the bread for the next day? Remember what would happen? The bread would melt away and get all moldy and horrible and worms would come out of it. It would be terrible. And so God said, leave it alone. Eat just as much as you need today. Be done with what you're eating and move on. So we start this process even in the Old Testament where God begins to give us a clue into what daily bread really is about. It's about waking up in the morning and walking out of your tent and seeing some bread on the ground, some manna, picking it up, eating till you are done eating, and then moving on with your day. Having just enough to get you from the sunrise to the time you go to bed. Interesting concept, isn't it? This whole idea of daily bread. So I started thinking about what daily bread would be for me, and I started thinking about my prayers. I started thinking about how many times I pray for things that I want God to do in my life, things I want God to do around me, things that I want God to give me. I'm not just talking about stuff, material possessions, because I don't think a lot of us in this room spend a lot of time praying for material possessions. But we do spend a lot of time praying for the desires that we have, don't we? And when we think about the things we desire, the things we want, the things we feel like we need, and we bring those to God and say, this is what I want right here. And oftentimes, those things don't pan out so well. And then we sit back and we're disappointed in unanswered prayers, prayers that God didn't pan out for us on because we asked for those things. And then it comes back to this, what is our daily bread? I want to challenge you on something tonight. I'm going to challenge you on two specific things that God has been challenging my heart on. And this is going to hit pretty hard, so be prepared. I started wondering this week, living in America, with all the stuff I have, whether I can even pray for daily bread. I mean, from that perspective, I started going, I mean, what am I really going to pray for? God, give me my daily bread? I have enough bread to last me 14 years. I have enough stuff that I could live my life happily for the rest of my life. I mean, what on earth am I going to go to God and say, God, give me my daily bread for, when I've got so much bread stocked up, if you will, that I don't even know where to begin with the word daily? I'm so far ahead of the game. We live in an entirely wrapped up society on preparing for what is going to come. We've all got our retirement plans working on by the time we're 25, or at least some of us do. We've got investments working for us. We've got stuff put away. We've got salaries we get, and we put those in bank accounts, and we work towards saving for cars and houses and stuff. We build and build and build. And even those of us that aren't building that much, we still have more than we could possibly imagine. And God comes along and says to us here, start with this. Your name be made great, your kingdom come, your will be done. Then go to this. If you wouldn't mind providing for me what I need today. So I started getting discouraged. I really did this week. I was like, oh my gosh, God. I mean, have I already blown it? Am I already done? How can I come to you and say, God, give me this day my daily bread if I already have so much? And then this really neat thing happened. Turn with me to the book of John, would you? We're going to go to John chapter 6, just a little further on. In our Bibles, it's page 740. In John chapter 6, John starts off by telling us a story about Jesus. He's hanging out with a bunch of people. We find out later that there was somewhere around the ballpark figure of 5,000 people that were following him around, listening to him preach. He was sitting up on this kind of hill and preaching to the 5,000. And it got to be that time where everybody was hungry and everybody needed something to eat. And so the disciples came to Jesus and they did what any one of us would do. They said, God, we need to get food for all of these people. Should we send them off to go and buy their food and come back? Because obviously we can't provide for 5,000 people. And you remember the story, don't you? Jesus says, don't worry about it. Collect what we have, bring it to me. So they end up going out and they collect a few loaves of bread and a few fish. They bring it to Christ. And Jesus looks at the fish and he prays over the fish and he blesses it and he says to the disciples, now go and hand it out. Hand out to everyone until they are full. What does that sound like? Does that remind you of anything? Kind of takes us back into the desert, doesn't it? Where God said, I will provide for you enough to fill you up. And when you're full, stop eating. And so he sends out the bread and he sends out the fish and people start eating, 5,000 of them. And they eat until they're full. So much so that they can't even eat anymore. And so they have leftovers. And you remember how the story ends. Turns out there are a bunch of baskets left over of bread and fish. And Jesus begins there. And I read that story in John chapter 6 and I go, wow. Look at Christ there. When I think back to this passage where the disciples said, how do we pray? And Jesus said, ask God for your daily bread. And I look at this and I go, that's unbelievable, God. You provide daily bread for people, literally, fish and bread there so they can eat. So there is a part of this that says, okay, I can go to God and simply say, God, what I need today, would you provide it? Would you give it to me? Because I need it. But watch what happens in chapter 6. Chapter 6 doesn't stop there. In verse 16 of chapter 6, it says this, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed three and a half miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. I mean, there's miracle after miracle in this one, isn't there? I mean, this is a God that can do anything, and watch this. The next day, the crowd had stayed the opposite shore of the lake, realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got up into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Okay, do you see what's happening here? There's a subtle shift here. What did we have in the beginning of chapter 6? We had Jesus doing what? Providing bread and fish for people so they could eat. The very next day when the people found out Jesus was gone, what do? They get in the boats and they begin to track after who? After Jesus. Listen, for us as human beings, the starting point for us is always getting fed. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily food, necessarily, but until our needs are met, we're these desperate animals that are like, ah! But once somebody meets our needs, we kind of go, ooh, we got to follow that guy. Jesus always starts with us there, doesn't he? He always comes into our lives and begins to meet our needs in unique and amazing ways, and we begin to get drawn to him. But once we're drawn to him, when we begin to want to follow him, watch what happens. Let's take a look at verse 25. Now pay close attention to this. Verse 25 says this, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. See what Jesus is saying here? You're not following me. You're following what? The stuff, right? Man, anytime we get hungry, we don't have to buy our own food. Jesus will just give, give, give. I like it. I mean, that's kind of how we are. And you know what? When it comes to prayer, folks, listen. I know my own heart. A lot of times I'm jumping into the prayer boat so I can go to Jesus and say, okay, I'm going to worship you and praise you and all, but just so we can get things straight, I've got some things I need to get taken care of here. I'm hungry and I need some bread. And Jesus goes, look, if you're following me, if you're after me because I am a slot machine that you can pull anytime you have need, you have completely missed the point. Look what he says. He says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Now listen. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. To believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that they may see it is that they may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. You see how that subtle shift there? What is Jesus getting at here? Watch this. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. What is Jesus doing here? What has Jesus done? In this short passage, in chapter 6 of John, where did Jesus start? By doing what? Giving to the people what? Bread. Physical bread so they can eat. What did that result in? It resulted in the people following Christ across the ocean, right? Across the sea, rather. When they got to the other side, what did Jesus explain to them? Guys, if you're coming to me for more stuff, for more bread, you're missing the point. Because the Father did not give you bread through Moses. Who did he give you bread through? Through me. And in fact, so much so that he is now giving you this bread. Why? Because I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And whoever eats of me will never be hungry. What did he say in this passage? He said, what are the works of God? When they asked, what are the works of God? What did he say? To believe in the one who he has sent. Isn't that an unbelievable statement? God, what do I do? What are the works of God? What is it that God requires of me so that I can eat this bread of life and live forever? Never go hungry. And Jesus simply looks at them and says, it is to believe in the one who he sent, to believe in me. So this is how this all kind of ties together. Watch this. I'm thinking about this prayer, and I'm thinking about the shift that God gave us in the beginning of the prayer. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, just as it is in heaven. This is all about you. My life is for you. I live and breathe for the name that you carry, for the honor of your name. And then I step in and I say, now, God, provide for me my daily bread. What if, as Jesus taught this prayer, he already knew that he was going to teach humanity that the true bread of life was him, that he was our need, that he was our supply, that he was the one that we needed to live and breathe? Do you remember when he said, man does not live by what? Bread alone, but by the Word of God, right? And who is the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. Remember what it says in John? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, living and breathing in the flesh. This is simply the words of God that we have right now because Jesus isn't with us. But when we die and we go and stand before Him, this will be unnecessary because He is this. This is Jesus. He is the Word. And so now He begins to tie everything together and He comes to us and we ask Him, how do we pray? And He says, number one, remember that everything that you pray, everything that you do, everything that you ask for it so that we'll honor God's name, so that we'll bring His kingdom about, and so that His will be done. Keep your mind there. And then second of all, go to Him and say, now supply for me this day the bread of life. Bring me my daily bread. I don't think it was any coincidence that God used the word bread there. That He ties bread to bread. That He is the bread of life. And so Jesus begins to say, if you want to pray, when you come and pray to me, if your mind is in the right place, if you are focused, then this is how you will pray. God, today, would you supply for me what I need, the bread of life? Let me ask you this question. What would a life look like? Think this through with me for a second. What would a life look like if that person woke up every day and fixed their minds on just these two things? And there's more to come in the next few weeks, but just these two things. I live and breathe today for the glory of your name. And I ask you now to provide for me yourself so that I can live in a manner worthy of that call. You give me today my daily bread. What would that life begin to look like? What would your life begin to be like if your daily bread was not simply the provisions of your day, like we've thought of it traditionally, God, give me what I need today, but that your daily bread was enough of Christ in your life that you would not have need, that you would not look at all the other things around you and be driven by them. Guys, I walk out of here tonight. Tomorrow morning is Monday. I can already feel it in my bones. How many things are going to call my name and draw me away from the Savior who I love? I can feel it. I can feel how those things are going to push me into a world of whirlwind busyness. And before Wednesday rolls around, I'm going to completely forget that I live and breathe for the name above all names. But if I can go to that name as I pray and say, God, before I forget, provide tonight for me my daily bread tomorrow. Drive me to you. Drive me first there. Bring me first to Christ and allow me to eat of Him so that this day all that I need will be provided for through the bread of life. What would that day begin to shape out? Yes, I'd still do a bunch of stuff. Yes, I'd still be busy. Yes, I'd still have to take care of bills and take care of job and take care of kids and take care of stuff. Welcome to planet Earth. But I would be focused on Christ and be living for Him. And every circumstance that enters into my world would enter in, and I would view it, and I would ask myself, how is this going to bring glory to your name? And how have you already provided for me so that I can stand in this circumstance honoring that name of yours? How can we possibly sanctify the name of God if we have not got the provision of Christ in our lives? How can we possibly live lives worthy of the gospel if Christ is not our supply? How can we possibly be men and women that live to honor God when we don't have Christ bringing all that we need to be strong? Well, I can tell you, we won't be able to do it. So what if in this beautiful prayer, as we begin to learn about prayer and what prayer really is, that prayer is something that begins to drive us to turn our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, and to cast off all that hinders and entangles, and to run this race with perseverance. What if prayer is to start with the answer to plugging into that? How many times have you and I not sat back and said, if I can just plug into this power that seems to be evident in God's word, if I could just live my life in this manner that the apostles lived theirs, oh, what a life to be lived. And now I start reading the Lord's Prayer and it goes, Renaud, live for the glory of my name, for my will and my kingdom. Keep your eyes fixed there. And ask me daily to be your provision, that I might be your daily bread. Doesn't matter how much stuff you have or how much you don't. Doesn't matter how much bread you have in your storehouses or how much you don't. What matters is that you stop thinking about all that and start turning your eyes onto me, because I am your supply. I am your bread. And when you wake up in the morning, you run to me to start, and you stay with me to finish. And then your daily bread will be provided. There are so many questions about prayer that I've had, so many questions I still do. But as I begin to jump into the Lord's Prayer and I begin to see things differently, some of those questions are fading away. Some of the unanswered prayers are changing, and I'm starting to realize, God, I think I've been missing the boat here. I think at the end of the day, prayer, in all of its forms that we will learn about in the next few Sundays, prayer in all of its forms are simply bricks built on the foundation of your starting with the disciples. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day your full supply. Give me your Son. Give me the bread of life. And then he goes on. Help me to forgive as I forgive, and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And you begin to see this prayer is the starting point for everything. And if we go from here, we walk into a world of power as we walk into a world of prayer. And that's where we want to be. So as you leave this place today, tomorrow morning when you wake up, turn your eyes from what you think your provision needs to be this day. Turn your eyes from what you think God needs to give you, and fix your eyes on the bread of life and say, all I ask today, God, is that you supply yourself to me so that I can live worthy of the gospel. And I will ask you, I wonder what God will begin to do in our lives if we can just ask him to be our bread and meet our needs, that he meets our needs, that he doesn't give us things to meet our needs. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much, again, that you bothered teaching the disciples how to pray. I don't know, God, that I've completely got this down at all. In fact, God, sometimes I sit during the week and I'm more confused than when I started. But as I sit here in the quiet, preparing to worship once again, and I think about the words of that song we sang, be the center of my life. I think about the worship that we just sang a few minutes ago, as we with passion shouted, to you be all glory. To you be all glory, God. It is so easy for me to sit here on a Sunday night to worship you with passion, to honor your name, and to shout out to you that it is you who I belong to, not that you belong to me, but that I belong to you. But God, I'm going to leave this place, and I'm going to face a week that will shout at me every day, you need, you need, you need. It will shout at me every day to be afraid of the things I'm losing, to be afraid of where you're taking me, to be afraid of being in a place where I have nothing. And then, God, when I'm there and I begin to want to whisper to you, please, God, give me the things that will meet my needs, may I remember that you are the bread of life. That when you give me my daily bread this day, that instead of asking for more things to meet my needs, may I begin to ask for you. Your servant Paul wrote so beautifully in Philippians, I consider all things rubbish in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. May it be true of us this night that those of us that call ourselves Christ followers would consider all things that you give us rubbish in comparison to the surpassing greatness of receiving you as our supply. And may we begin to ask that you would become the bread that meets our needs. I know in my heart of hearts, God, in my gut, that if I were willing to go there and to take my eyes off of the bread and the fish and onto you, that in fact, I would be far more satisfied. Far more satisfied. So I ask now, tomorrow, would you give us our daily bread? And may you be that bread for us. In Jesus' name, amen.